Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby.
Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves.
Welcome to the Movie Pit podcast. This is the first episode, and that being said, this is also the first podcast I've done with the brand of the Movie Pit, which is something that I started over 10 years ago, back on MySpace, back when people used MySpace. It was a little fucking, just tiny little blog where I'd write. It started out like two paragraph reviews, and the longer I went with it, the more and more I'd write. And the longer the reviews would get, and kind of the angrier I would get about bad movies, and the more passionate I'd get about good movies. And over time, it just kind of migrated from written reviews, which I had my website, which the domain is now gone, but I still have the free site up where I still post quite a few reviews. But it was natural for me to migrate over to YouTube and do video reviews, and I enjoyed doing that for many years. And I, like I said, with the written reviews, I still do the video reviews, but sorry, every now and then if I pause, it's because I vape. But with video, granted, it's a lot better now than it was when I started, because you were so constrained to time. But still, what it boils down to is you want to keep your YouTube videos short and sweet. You don't want them too long. I've seen too many reviews on YouTube that just boil over and over and over again, and it's just kind of a slow burn. And slow burn's not good, especially if you're watching reviews of movies that the movies themselves are a slow burn. So It was natural for me. I've been wanting to do the podcast for a while, and I will eventually have more people here with me, but it only seems natural, since I started the Movie Pit by myself, that the first podcast episode of the Movie Pit, I should be by myself and just be myself, do what I do. And what I do is give you my as honest a fucking opinion about movies as possible. Like, eventually we'll get to a movie that I'm very, very passionate about, Halloween. And I can be just the tiniest bit biased to that movie, because it is one of my favorite movies. But with every movie that I review, I give my honest 100% feelings on. And sometimes that's really, really harsh. Sometimes that's it could be worse, but that's what I like to do. Kind of the format that I want to do with this podcast is I kind of want to talk about what's going on, and not just do movie reviews. Everybody does movie reviews. I want to talk about the entertainment industry. That's the industry that I'm going into. That's the industry that I care about. That's the industry I want to talk about. And there's many aspects to it, from music, so sometimes maybe we'll talk music. Books, sometimes we'll talk books. Graphic novels, doesn't fucking matter. Even though it's called the Movie Pit, I will always use that name. Doesn't mean I'm only going to talk about movies. What we're talking about is the basics of what people want to see, their entertainment value. So I kind of think how I want to structure this is not just, like I said, not just bang it away with a movie review, but talk about other stuff and then end with that movie review. Doesn't matter what it is, but like maybe discuss teasers that just hit that have all the buzz out there right now. Maybe there's set photos, hint, like the Suicide Squad, that have triggered such controversy out there. But what I want to do is cover as many aspects of the entertainment industry without just giving a cookie cutter movie review that you can look at any podcast out there and pretty much throw a rock, you'll hit 10. So that's pretty much what I how I want to work this. And since this is my first podcast, during this introduction, I'm going to talk a little bit about why I enjoy films. And it's probably the same reason why everybody who says they're a film lover loves films. I've been a huge diehard movie buff since I was a little kid, probably five. From the time I was 7, 8 on, it was horror flicks. That's what I wanted. I loved horror flicks. It didn't really matter which one, the bloodier the better at the time frame. And ever since that time, I've just watched everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But because of that, everybody has this misconception that I only watch horror flicks, that I only review horror flicks. Granted, this first episode is going to end with a review of a horror flick, but no, I believe it or not, I'm a movie buff. As much as I am a horror fanatic, I'm a movie buff, which means I'll watch any movie. I don't care what it is. Brokeback Mountain, Magic Mike, Poltergeist. It really doesn't matter to me. I will give any movie one shot. Doesn't mean I have to like it. Doesn't mean I ever have to watch it again. Just means that I will give it that one honest viewing. And from there, like everybody else, make my opinion if this is a movie that I enjoy, actors in it that I enjoy, filmmakers that I enjoy. And when it comes down to that, it tells me later on if I want one, like I said, want to watch that movie again, B, want to see something that writer director has done again, see this new actor again. I apologize for the background, the dogs are in the backyard going fucking apeshit. But that's what you have to look at with movies. Don't get hung up on genres. Don't get hung up on a movie because it's a chick flick. It's a chick flick, fine. You're a guy. Don't watch it if you're that insecure with fucking watching a movie. But don't not watch a movie just because you consider it a fucking chick flick. There are some chick flicks out there that are actually pretty fucking good. Granted, there's also a lot of chick flicks out there that are just fucking god awful. But it's a catch-22. You have to have the good with the bad. You have to sit and watch those chick flicks, guys. Like, if you want to take your girl to see hardcore action flicks, violent horror flicks, you're going to have to bite the bullet, watch the rom-coms, the dramedies, all that shit. So, bottom line is, you have to, like I said, suck it up, learn to watch multiple genres, learn to enjoy multiple genres, because if you can see the all sides of and the good sides of all genres, it makes you respect the genres that you truly, truly like that much more, and you can see different sides of that. Like, I'm a horror guy. There are horror rom-coms. Yes, I said it. Back in the 80s, you had Once Bitten. It was Jim Carrey. It was a comedy, but it was horror-related. That is considered a horror rom-com. More recently, you had Warm Bodies, which was pretty much the zombie version of Romeo and Juliet. Granted, that's going to be a movie that's not for everybody, but it was actually pretty fucking funny. And it was one of the best, oddly enough, one of the best tellings of Romeo and Juliet I have personally ever seen. And I'm not a Romeo and Juliet fan. That might be why that throwing the zombie aspect in made it the best telling for a guy like me. But basically, what I want you, all listeners, whoever fucking come across this podcast, to understand is you're not going to get a biased review from me, because I fuck, leave me alone. Those were alerts from other podcasts. But you're not going to get an unbiased review from me because I'm very, very honest. Because that's what I would want. I said, I'm an aspiring filmmaker. I'm in film school right now. I've written and directed a short film, Quiet in the Library. And I don't want people to sugarcoat shit. I want honest opinions about shit, especially on stuff that I want. that I've made. If I write a script and I give it to someone to read, I don't want them to tell me, oh yeah, it's great, because they're my friend. I want honest, brutal fucking truths, because that's the only thing that's going to make you better art creator, better art viewer, and just a better person in general. Because if you can learn to be honest and take honesty with a grain of salt, thicken your skin up just a little bit so you can learn to take some backlash every now and then. That being said, like I said, that's a little background about me. I'm a film student, making movies, writing scripts. Now we're going to take a quick break, play a few trailer spots for the next segment for what I'm going to be talking about. Stay tuned.
We didn't know where else to go.
You did the right thing coming here.
Maddie was the first one to notice things.
Mom, how will you get here?
Who are you talking to?
When was the last time you had contact with her? Before she was taken?
It's a fixer-upper.
All the houses are like this in our price range.
Do you want to see Jake?
No way.
You try.
We like this house!
First things first, your daughter is here and she's alive. This development was built on a cemetery. This isn't just a few pissed off spirits we're dealing with. It's a poltergeist.
We just want our daughter back.
The door to their world could close at any moment.
If that happens,
there's no getting her back. I want you all to clear your minds. They already know what scares you.
With a very unusual skill set.
Utah, I need a theory.
So why not deploy your chute above the jungle and escape like a normal person?
Because I'm thinking these aren't normal people, sir.
I believe that, like me, the people behind these robberies are extreme athletes. Using their skills to disrupt the international financial markets. And they don't care who gets killed in the process.
They call me Bodhi.
There's a few billion dollars of gold down there.
You're gonna steal it?
No. We're going to liberate it.
Hey,
think you're brothers. Now you show me whose side you're on.
Criminal masterminds. These are just kids partying away their lives.
We can get these guys. I just need more time. Bodhi, do you have any idea how many people you've killed? How many laws you've broken?
The only law that matters is gravity.
Stop!
Okay, those were the trailers for the recently released in theaters remake of Poltergeist. And the trailer that was released for the upcoming remake of Point Break. There is a common thread there. They're both remakes. Oddly enough, both these films' original source material I behold very, very close to me. I love the movies. I have not seen Poltergeist yet. And if you haven't seen the trailer is good. The downfall is you, like the first teaser I saw, you had the clown. Of course, if you're making a Poltergeist remake, you're going to have the clown in there. But I think they're focused way too much in that trailer on the clown. And I just have this really bad gut feeling that they're going to go into elaborate backstory. And the clown is going to have a bigger part of it, which, like I said, I have that feeling. And I've talked to a few people. And that feeling came to fruition. I guess there's a lot more clowns. There's no reason why this clown is there. But I will not dwell on that because I just want to talk about this trailer. The trailer makes the movie look really fucking good. I have to be honest. For a PG-13 modern horror remake, granted, the original film was only PG, but things were a lot more lenient back then. I would have liked to see maybe them go a little harder, maybe push for an R, just to see what you can do with the Poltergeist franchise, as opposed to keeping in that range that they're just trying to get as many seat butts in the theater seats as possible. And I understand that that's the point of a fucking movie, is to make money. But you know what? If you make an R-rated movie, those people that you're trying to get in with the PG-13 are going to get in to see the movie. Anyways, we were all there. We were all under the age of 17 once. Was there ever a time that you could not get in to see an R-rated movie one way or another? Parent, one way or another, they're going to find a way to see this fucking movie. So just make it R to try to push the envelope a little bit. The second thing with this trailer that kind of rubbed me the wrong way is I think like all the big jumps, all the big scary moments that are going to happen in this film are in this trailer. That's my biggest fear and why I'm so hesitant of seeing it. Because at this point in time, I'm at that like wait for DVD, wait for Blu-ray mark. Don't want to drop the money to see it in theaters. But that's my main hesitation. That it's either going to be A, like I said, that all the jump scares and all the really cool shit is in that trailer. Or there's the flip side to it, where the movie's just going to be nothing but that. And if the movie is nothing but loud noises, big jumps, high effect scenes, if it's that nonstop, there's never that sense of suspense, tension, nothing to get your nerves up and like your blood boiling, which was really, really good with that first film. The first film, like, yes, it's a slow burn, but the trailer to this looks like it's just boom, 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 boom. And that's fine because audiences now have the attention span of a fucking gnat. But I think they could have made a more true, I hope, a more true trailer to what the film actually is. Like I said, I haven't seen the movie. And this trailer is making me really, really hesitant to see it. And the fact that they replaced the fucking, like, the psychic there who's there to clean the house with a fucking old British guy. Granted, it was a young British lady, but you should have cast that character as it was originally intended. Hell, for all I know, in the original script, that character could have been a fucking older British man, and they just liked the performance that the lady gave in it. Fuck. That brings me to Point Break. Okay. I know that Point Break isn't a great movie. It's not. It stars Keanu Reeves, Gary Busey, Patrick Swayze. But it also holds a special place in my heart. It's a fun movie to pop up some popcorn, kick your feet up, and just sit back and watch. It's a fun action flick with a killer storyline. And there's a lot of humorous elements to it. And I remember the first time I watched that movie, I personally hadn't seen anything like it. So when I heard a few years back that they were in pre-production on remaking it, my heart sank into my stomach, because my initial reaction was, why? Not why remake this movie. My philosophy was, why make another remake? Because in my eyes, they already had made another. They already had remade this film. It was called Fast and the Furious. It's the same fucking bullshit. Undercover cop gets brought in to deal with a string of robberies, comes tight with the crew, becomes buddy buddies with him, and makes it harder and harder for him to do his job. That's the premise of Point Break. That is also said premise of Fast and the Furious. I think Fast and the Furious makes a better remake than this trailer makes it out to be. One of the biggest points in Point Break is the title. It's called Point Break for a reason. It's because they're fucking surfers. Yes, they're adrenaline junkies. But by and large, they're surfers. That's where all the robberies take place. All the robberies take place where the surf is at the best. That's why it's seasonal. And when you watch this trailer for the remake, it is strictly focusing on the adrenaline side. Like, literally in this opening trailer, I think there was two shots of anything related to surfing. There's a lot of skydiving, base jumping, flying squirrel suits, some really bad dialogue, guy trying to do his best worst Keanu Reeves impression. The only thing that looks remotely like the original is the fact that they named the fucking main bad guy Bodhi. And you know he's the main bad guy from the trailer because they don't have to hide it this time. It's a fucking remake. You know how it is. Which is, like I said, Fast and the Furious. That, like, everyone was so shocked in that movie that, like, they really thought it was Johnny Tran or Hector or some shit like that. I'm like, you knew it was fucking Vin Diesel because it's formula. They just copied what Catherine Bigelow did with the original Point Break. This one, I don't know. I'm really, really taught, like, in a hard spot with this fucking movie, because it's in that area where I hate remakes that are exact shot for shot, just refilming. So it's not a remake, it's just a reshoot. But I also can't stand a remake that doesn't seem anything like the original. And we'll get into this later down the line, further on in the podcast, when I dive into more of the John Carpenter stuff and The Thing. There's certain ways of doing remakes that aren't anything like it. Like when John Carpenter remade The Thing, he wasn't remaking the movie. He was making the short story that the original film was based off of. And the original film was nothing like the original source material. His film was. But when it comes down to the Point Break thing, I really can't go too much longer on Point Break because it's just going to piss me off. And the fact that I haven't seen it, and to be honest, I'm not going to see it. And whenever like a new trailer comes out, and I just piss and moan, and I tell someone, you know what, I want to do a YouTube review on my reactions to the trailer or some shit like that. They're like, how the hell can you react to a trailer? How the hell can you review a film off a trailer? I'm like, well, I heard someone say it, and I agree with it. The trailers are made to make me, to make you want to see this movie. If the trailer, even if it's like the worst piece of shit out there, your trailer should be the best fucking thing about that movie. Prime example, Lakeview Terrace. Sam Jackson, awesome. That trailer put my ass in that theater. That movie fucking blew. It was the worst 2 hours of my fucking life. Because everything that was good in that movie was in that trailer. And that's how you should do it. Don't have crap in your trailer. Keep the crap for the movie so people can bitch about it later after you as the filmmaker have their money. I'm fine with that. If the movie's really shit, you won't get my money. I'll walk out of the theater and demand my money back, but I won't sit through the entire thing either. If you're making a trailer, make it something that people want to fucking see. This is a horrendous looking film just from this first trailer. Doesn't look anything like Point Break. And at this point, I'm just rambling, repeating myself. And I hate repeating myself. Ask my stepson. It makes me feel like a crazy person. So at this point, we're going to take a break. We're going to listen to the trailer of Human Centipede. When we get back, we're going to talk about Human Centipede. Stay tuned.
Yes, I was wondering if I could get driving directions to a nightclub called...
Hello, sweetie. No, we're in Germany right now. Maybe we can talk to you later? All right, we miss you.
Bye, Amy.
Bye, sweetie.
I think we're supposed to turn.
I thought you knew exactly where we were going.
What was that?
Here, I swear. We just got a little lost.
A little lost?
Yes.
We are not a little lost. We are really lost.
Hello, can anyone help? We got a flat tire. Can we come in?
Something to drink?
You're tourists.
We are on a road trip through Europe.
Yeah.
Can you call the emergency car service for us?
You have a really lovely home.
Siamese triplet connected via the gastric system. The human centipede first sequence. We start with cutting the ligaments of the kneecaps. So wahnsinnig.
Hör, kommst du her?
You need help! You're a sick man!
Heard the trailer for The Human Centipede. And for those of you who haven't heard about this film, you've probably been living under a rock for a very, very, very long time. The reason why I'm reviewing this film is because it's going to be the first part of a three-part series in this podcast. I'm going to talk about all three films. So the next podcast, you'll get Human Centipede 2, the full sequence, and you'll get Human Centipede 3, the final sequence. This movie came out in 1999, and a lot of people say it's unfortunate that it's considered critically acclaimed. It is critically acclaimed because it brewed so much fucking controversy that I hadn't seen anything like it, and it was quite honestly, the controversy made me go see this fucking movie in the one theater in my town that was fucking showing it, and I was one of the freaks out there that had to see this because it was considered the most disturbing film ever made. And well, let's just get into it. Let me synopsize the film for you. So now's the time where I'm going to give you the spoiler alert and say, yes, I am going to ruin the movie for it. So if you haven't seen the movie, you probably shouldn't be listening to a podcast about it. So now's your time to pause this, go on Netflix because it's streaming on there, watch the movie, then come back and finish playing this podcast to the end. Lindsay and Jenny, played by Ashley C. Williams and Ashlyn Yenny, are two American tourists in Germany who attempt to drive to a local nightclub when their car breaks down in the nearby woods. After refusing a ride from a dangerous-looking truck driver, they walk to the woods looking for help when it begins to rain. They stumble upon a rural country house owned by a crazed surgeon named Dr. Hader, played by Dieter Laser. Dr. Hader pretends that he's phoning for help for them when he serves the two women drugged water, which upon drinking it, they pass out, like you do. The women awake in a makeshift medical ward in the basement and witness Hader informing a kidnapped truck driver that he is not a match in killing him. When the women wake up a second time, Hader has secured a new male captive, Japanese tourist Katsuru. The doctor explains to his three captives that he has been a world-renowned expert in separating conjoined twins, but dreams of making new creatures that share a single digestive system. He describes in detail how he will surgically connect the three victims' mouth to anus. After Lindsay fails in an attempt to escape, Hader performs a surgery on his victims, placing Lindsay in the middle, Katsuru in the front, and Jenny in the rear. Before beginning the operation, Hader explains to Lindsay that he had experimented with creating a three dog, also joined mouth to anus, which died shortly after surgery. Hader tells Lindsay that the middle dog of his creation experienced the most pain, and as a punishment for her escape attempt, she will become the middle part of his human centipede. Once the operation is complete, the doctor tries to train his centipede as you would a pet, and watches with great delight as Lindsay is forced to swallow Katsuru's excrement. However, Hader eventually becomes irate after being kept awake day and night by the constant screaming of his victims, and soon realizes that Jenny is dying from blood poisoning caused by the surgery. A few days later, two local detectives arrive at the doctor's house to investigate the disappearance of tourists. Hader decides to add them to his centipede as replacements for Jenny. Hader fails in his attempt to drug the detectives, and they leave the house to obtain a search warrant. The victims attempt to escape from the ward, crawling up the stairs, and Katsuru attacks Hader, stabbing him in the leg with a scalpel. Their attempt to escape ultimately fails. Katsuru confesses to the doctor in Japanese that he deserves his fate because he had treated his family poorly. He then fatally cuts his own throat with a shard of broken glass. Just then, the detectives return to the house and conduct separate searches as Hader hides in the basement near his swimming pool. One detective finds the makeshift ward and then hears a gunshot. He discovers Hader's victim before finding Fowler, the other detective, dead in the swimming pool after being shot. Hader comes out of hiding and shoots the detective in the stomach, and the detective responds by shooting Hader in the head. Detective then falls into the pool, dead. Back in the house, Jenny and Lindsay hold hands as Jenny dies from her blood poisoning. Despite being aware that her captor is dead, Lindsay is left alone in the house, trapped between two deceased fellow captives, mouth to one's ass and one's mouth to her ass. That is what I call a great fucking plot. Okay, that's it. That's the entire fucking movie. And I'll be honest, it blew my mind the first time I saw it. I shouldn't say that because it is a fucked up movie. And I don't like saying the fact that these movies don't bother me, but the fact of the matter is these movies don't bother me. I can watch just about anything. And what I really dug about this movie is that writer-director Tom Six did something very few had, in my opinion, in a very long time. He created a concept that was 150% original. I had never seen it before. I couldn't believe what the fuck I was watching. Like, every trailer that you saw, they had all these like warnings, like banned in certain countries, the most disturbing movie you'll ever see. It was, let me preface this, at the time, the most disturbing thing I had ever seen, because you just can't believe what you are actually watching. And one of the taglines is that this movie is 100% medically accurate. I would love to see and hear from a doctor to see if this movie actually is 100% medically accurate, because if it is, that's fucking genius. If it's not, give Tom Six credit, because he sure sounds in that movie like he knows what the fuck he's talking about. And that's where I really get the movie praise, because it's loaded with bullshit, and it, at the end of the day, it's still your standard run-of-the-mill horror flick, torture porn, but it was so fucking original. And I don't care, some people likened it to fucking Hostel, to Saw. It is nothing like Hostel. It is nothing like Saw. Each of those franchises had their own style, had their own like philosophies on stuff. Tom Six doesn't give a fuck about any of that. When you see the, like, you see his pictures and how he's like, the scene where after Katsuro is eating and he's forced to shit, he's like apologizing, like saying, I'm so sorry," but he's shitting, and just like to have the mindset to write a sequence like this, where not only is another man shitting in a girl's mouth, but you have the creator standing there rejoicing, screaming, "Eat, eat, eat," over and over and over again, just laughing hysterically, trying to teach this thing to fucking walk. It is, color me like crazy. It is, I find it fucking genius. And I'm sorry about that. Makes me a bad person maybe, but I don't give a fuck. I like twisted shit. I like stuff that gets under people's skin. I like stuff that isn't the norm. If you give me a film that's the norm, I'm going to give you the run-of-the-mill review. I'll give you my honest opinion, but you have to give me something I haven't seen before. If you're not giving me something I haven't seen before, I'm just going to compare it to other shit. And that's where I really liked, like, my first review of this film that I ever wrote is, a reader of it commented back, it's like, "But what's this movie like? You didn't compare it to anything in your review." Because I can't. You can't compare something to something that doesn't exist. You'd just be making shit up at that point. Now, do I think this is a great film? No. Not by any stretch of the imagination. It's not. Acting is, for the most part, fucking terrible. Dieter Laser, who plays the Doctor, is probably the best performance in this movie, mainly because obviously he's got the most dialogue. Everyone else is just emoting. Or you have the Japanese guy who's talking Japanese all the fucking time, so I don't really care. But I liked the Dr. Hader character, and I liked Dieter's performance in it. He made me think that he was really the psychotic fucking almost mad scientist, because that's pretty much what the fucking character is trying to be. But that being said, the other acting in this movie, like, is Front of the Centipede, the detectives, it's run-of-the-mill. That's the only thing about this movie that is really run-of-the-mill, is the performance in it. This was an extremely, extremely low budget film. Give me 1 second. Let me see if I can find a budget on it. It was estimated at $1.5 million. That's not U.S. currency, so it's probably actually about half that. And you know what? Surprisingly, I know it was shot digitally in HD. It looks good. It looks like a independent film, but it looks like it's shot on 35mm. And that's something that I wasn't expecting to see from this. Not to bash on local companies, but I've seen a lot of low-budget horror flicks that are shooting digitally in HD, and it looks like it was shot on video. And it looks like it had a budget of $250,000 to $500,000, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it's turning that kind of budget into something that looks like maybe it was four times that budget. That comes down to, obviously, your cinematographer. Two, the director that had the vision and how you use the money. And I from these performances, I guarantee you the money didn't go to the fucking actors. Like Tom Six and the production company and the producers paid these actors anything, it was fucking too much. Because, like I said, they're the worst fucking part about this movie. But let me see if I can track down the cinematographer. Goof de Koenig. Goof de Koenig. Great name. Let's see what else he's done. Before he did Human Centipede, he did a lot of films I never fucking heard of. Gay in Amsterdam, Honeys, I Love Drives. And since then, he's done a lot more shit that I've never fucking heard. A lot of shorts. Short. Mostly shorts after this, so congratulations there, Goof. Human Centipede might have killed your feature career, but give the guy credit. I'll take a look at some of his other stuff, because I did like the way that the movie was shot, and that's a big, big thing for me. You can fix a shit story with shit acting as long as it looks good. And not that this is a shit story. Shit acting, yes. Shit story, no. But how the film looks can really fix a broken film. that's one thing that I've learned a lot in my 3 years here at film school. Make it look good. Doesn't matter what the fuck the content is for the most part. Now let's get to the controversy about this movie. It doesn't really surprise me that in many, many screenings, because it was very limited release, did the festival circuit. People walked out of screenings, which is funny because when you go back and look at the pre-production stories on this movie, when they had actresses coming in for audition, there were actually many, many actresses that walked out of the auditions in utter disgust after discovering what the roles that they were auditioning for actually entailed. I don't know what they thought they were getting into when they read that they were going in for a thing called Human Centipede. Because when I didn't even need to see the trailer, I heard the name, I knew what the fuck I was going to be seeing. Didn't believe what I was going to be seeing, but it really doesn't surprise me that actresses walked out. It just surprises me that the actresses showed up there just to walk out. They had to know what the fuck they were getting into. Here's another interesting story. When the Toronto Underground Cinema showed this film, there was a centipede deal where if you purchase, if two tickets were purchased, you'd get a third one free. I really liked hearing about that, and I was trying to push the Madcap here in the Arizona. It's no longer there. It's now an AMC, but it was an independently run place that showed only independent art style films, grindhouse style films. And I was trying to tell them they should do something like that. It's a nice little promotional gimmick. Buy two, get the third free. But they weren't going for it. They just wanted the money. And to be honest with you, there's a reason why the Madcap ain't there anymore, because they didn't know how to fucking sell themselves. And maybe if they would have done more gimmicky shit like that, maybe the Mad Cat would still be there and not be bought out by fucking AMC. Anywho, Tom Six, when he was approaching his investors prior to filming, filmmakers told him that they wanted to make an international horror film that involved stitching people together, but did not mention how exactly they would be stitched, fearing the mouth to ass aspect would put investors off. I have to give Tom Six some actual good advice. That was brilliant. Don't tell your investors what the details are. He told them what the movie was about. He wasn't lying. Just don't give the fine details. Don't tell them the stuff that may or may not jeopardize your production. Get the fucking movie made. If they don't like it, fuck it. The money's already been spent. I would even go as far as saying, well, maybe not. Don't, like, hide the script from them. They obviously had to see it. But once you get the backers backing in a contract and they want to see scripts and they want to make changes, make some really, really outrageous shit. Which, from what I understand, is what Tom Six did. He had some other shit in the script that he never, never intended to shoot. But he knew that his investors would not back it. So when they were trying to give him this whole laundry list of shit to cut out and change, he would say, okay, tell you what. I'll take this, that, and that out. Get rid of all that if I can keep the ass-to-mouth thing. That's fucking brilliant. And I really like the logic behind that. Here it is. I'm doing some research as we're speaking. Director Tom Six did, this goes back to something I said earlier, contacted a real surgeon for the medical human centipede design, which grants the film the tagline, 100% medically accurate. So damn, this is, at least, from the real surgeon that Tom Six contacted, 100% medically accurate. I try not to read too many reviews about movies before I see them. Once I see them, I'll go back and read a lot of reviews and see what other people's, like people that actually make a living reviewing movies, that can separate the art of enjoying movies and picking them apart. So I remember reading Roger Ebert, and he refused to assign a star rating on this film for his review. And he wanted to make it very clear not to be accused that he was giving it a 0-star rating, which he hands out for the worst films that he's ever seen. He was saying it doesn't really matter what the whether this film is perceived as good or bad. I have it pulled up here. He closes his review with, this film is what it is and occupies a world where the stars don't shine. That's the best way to end it. The stars don't shine. He didn't want to give this film a star rating, but it's not one of the worst things, because he has given 0 stars. He just didn't, like, 0 stars is still stars. He just refused to attach anything to it. And I give him credit for that, because here's a guy who I know has refused to watch certain films. Hell, and that's something even I won't do. Like I said, I'll watch anything once. But when you saw the controversy that this film had brought out, how many people walked out, passed out during screenings of this, they should have promoted the shit out of that more. Like, I heard about it, but not as much as I would have been promoting. Like, if you're looking to be like the shock jock filmmaker out there, you want that shit known. Like, hey, my movie made people walk out. My movie made people pass out. My movie made people puke in the fucking audience. Don't shy away from that. That's the selling point on a film like this. Nothing more. Like I said, the story's not bad, but the story's not the selling point. The acting damn sure ain't the selling point. We've established that. sell the fact that it's fucking disturbing. It grosses people out. It makes people uncomfortable. If you make people uncomfortable, guess what? You have their attention for an hour and a half. And if you have their attention for that hour and a half and they're already uncomfortable, there's so many doors for you to open and really fuck with the audience's heads. And that's from the aspect of a filmmaker, the part that I love, is that once you start a film, you get those butts in the seats, they're yours. Granted, they may walk out. But if they walk out, that means that you got in their head. And that means you did what you're supposed to do. Get in their head. Because this film isn't supposed to entertain, per se. It was entertaining to me, but I'm a sick fuck. This movie is only goal is to disturb. That being said, I, unlike Roger Ebert, will give this a star review. Even though this was a glowing, and I highly recommend the movie, believe it or not. It is a recommend, but star, I give this one like a 3.5 out of 5. I love the movie, but, and it looks great. If the movie looked like shit, it probably would have got a 1.5 stars. The fact that it looked good bumped it up. Because the acting, like I said, I have to be honest. I love this movie, but the acting really takes away a lot. And that I can't, like, overlook that shit. And I know when I first did a review of this, I gave it a lot higher rating. And because I was just one of those people that was trying to support the most fucked up shit that I could fucking find. and I try not to do that anymore. But when it comes down to it, I recommend this movie. I share this movie with as many people as possible, but I think that's a fair rating for this movie. 3.5 out of 5. That being said, that's going to close this first episode of the Movie Pick podcast. I almost said the Movie Grit, but that's Adam Green and Joe Lynch podcast that I listen to. I hope you enjoyed it. This one may be a little shorter. Sorry about that. But I hope to get them longer, like I said, once I get other people involved. But I really want to get the first ones out there where it's just me. Like I said, it's kind of a pride thing. I started this shit on my own. Before I bring other people in, I want to get the groundwork going. But once I get other people in, it'll be a lot more interesting to pick brains and have conversations, especially since I know the certain people that I will be having on don't see eye to eye with me on films, and it always makes things really interesting for our debates and conversations on movies. So like I said, thank you for listening to this podcast. Check in next time when I will be talking about The Human Centipede 2, the full sequence. And to make this truly a Movie Pit podcast, I will end this in the sign-off that I signed all my written reviews with. Till next time, kiddies. Thanks for listening.